the whole Shabbos talking in the shul, so it's hard for me to speak. Although probably at some point I'll start screaming like usual. But at least in the beginning it's hard to talk. First of all, whenever Jews get together on Motzei Shabbat and Motzei Shabbos on a Saturday night, it's an important thing. I've spoken about it before. The tzaddikim have taught us that in general there's a need for people to get together on a Motzei Shabbos. On Motzei Shabbat, people feel that they need to get out, to get together. People are uncomfortable staying home on a Motzei Shabbos. And the reason that people need to get out and they want to go away is we know that the first time of the week, the first potential time that Mashiach can come, that Eliyahu HaNavi can bring Mashiach is Motzei Shabbat. Motzei Shabbos, Saturday night. It's the first time that Mashiach can come. Mashiach doesn't come, the Gemara says. Mashiach can't come Erev Shabbat, Erev Shabbos. Mashiach can't come, of course, on Shabbos, Eliyahu HaNavi. So the first time of the week that Eliyahu HaNavi can come, that the end can materialize, the first time is Motzei Shabbat. That's why we sing songs about Eliyahu HaNavi and Motzei Shabbos. After Shabbat, we sing songs about Eliyahu HaNavi. So the tzaddikim have taught us that because of that, there's a certain restlessness in the world on Motzei Shabbos. Not only by Jews, l'havdil by goyim also. Everybody's running around on Motzei Shabbos looking for something to do, looking for somebody to be with, for a friend. It could be that you're looking for somebody, you know, people are looking for friends with whom they could take apart people's cars. And you know, what to break into a jewelry store. But you don't want to go by yourself on a Motzei Shabbos. You need to have a chavra to bring a friend with you. Why is that? Because there's a certain feeling of emptiness that everybody has Motzei Shabbat. Because since we know that it's the time, whether you know it intellectually, we feel it, the world feels that when Shabbos ends, Mashiach is supposed to come. Eliyahu HaNavi is supposed to be here already. It's supposed to be the end of all the craziness. So because of that, we feel instinctively the need to be together Motzei Shabbos. That if you can't be with Mashiach, if we're not going to be together with Hashem in the way that it should be, the way that we should be, that at least Jews, and people in general, want to be together, they want to have a good time, they want to get out. So how wonderful it is when people come together to learn a little bit of Torah on a Motzei Shabbos, to learn some Torah together. Most of the world on a Motzei Shabbos, on a Saturday night, people are running around doing crazy things. So for you to come together and to learn a little bit of Torah is an extremely, extremely wonderful thing. It strengthens me, that Baruch Hashem, to see some of my students here that will come on Motzei Shabbos and to come out to learn. Ashreichem, how fortunate you are. Hashem should give you the strength to continue learning Torah for many, many, many years. I want to talk about this coming parasha. But something that has to do with all of our lives, all the time. Something that you and I go through. Something that we go through. It says by the building of the Mishkan, everybody knows that there were 7 days, we're just reading about it now, 7 days of the Mishkan being put together and taken apart, of the tabernacle, the Mishkan, until finally, this coming week, we read Vayhi Bayom HaShmini. Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, it came to the 8th day. So it says in the Torah, Kar Moshe La'Aaron Levanov L'Zikne Yisrael. The Moshe Rabbeinu called together Aaron and his sons, all the elders of the Jewish people, and it says, Ki Hayom Hashem Nira Aleichem. There's a tremendous, tremendous joy on that 8th day, Vayhi Bayom HaShmini. There was a tremendous joy. Ki Hayom Hashem Nira Aleichem. Because today, Hashem is appearing to you. That was the whole purpose of creation, what the whole world has been waiting for since the beginning of time, is that the Shekhinah, the presence of Hashem, should descend into our world, into our lives. That was the purpose of creation. It still is. That Hashem should be here with us in this world. That we should feel His presence in a very powerful way. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ki Hayom Hashem Nir Aleichem. Hashem is here. Hashem is being seen today. So it says in the Medrash, Ma'al Tamalom HaVayihi. What is the deeper significance of that word Vayihi. It says Vayihi, and it was on the eighth day. What's the deeper meaning of the word Vayihi? So Chazal say, Melame Shahesa Simchilafanov Bamar Kiyom Shinivrubo Shamayim Harvis. So Chazal say in the Medrash that this teaches us that the joy of Hashem, the joy of God, on that day when the Mishkan was completed, the Simcha, was equal to the great joy that Hashem had when He completed the creation of heaven and earth. And how do we know that? Because Chazal say that it says, Vayihi bayom hashmini, and it was on the eighth day. And with all of creation, it says each time, everybody knows, Vayihi erev, Vayihi boker. It was morning, it was evening, and it was morning. Vayihi erev, Vayihi boker. That's what Chazal say. That's what our rabbis taught us. That here it says, Vayihi bayom hashmini, and it was on the eighth day. And it reminds us of the word that was used, the key word that was used at the time of creation. Vayi erev, vayi boker, it was evening and it was morning. So the joy that Hashem had at the time of creation is the joy that He experienced, so to speak, when the Jewish people were finished with building the Mishkan and the presence of Hashem was able to enter into this world, which is the purpose of creation. Now, but every day of creation, the Torah says, Vayihi erev, Vayihi boker. It was evening and it was morning. The only time the Torah does not use that term, Vayihi erev, Vayihi boker, was when? By Shabbos. By Shabbat, it doesn't say. It doesn't say, Vayihi erev, Vayihi boker, Yom HaShvi'i. Right? It doesn't say, it was evening, it was morning, the seventh day. Vayihi erev, Vayihi boker, Yom HaShishi. Good, the creation, we have that, the sixth day. Erev Shabbat, yes, Erev Shabbos. But for Shabbos it doesn't say, Vayerev Vayiboker Yom HaShvi'i. It was evening, it was morning, it was the seventh day. It doesn't say that. So what's the reason for that? So Rabbeinu Bechayai says that the reason for that is that there was no darkness. There was no darkness at all by Shabbat. There wasn't any darkness. Vayi erev, vayi boker means it was evening, it was morning. It means that there was darkness and it was light. That's when it comes to the whole week. When it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to Shabbat, so there the Torah does not say it was dark and it was light, it was evening, it was morning. Because Shabbos is completely light. Rabbeinu Bechayai says on Shabbos there's a tosefet or there's an additional light, and the yom and the laila, the evening, the morning, the day and the night are the same, are equal. So the entire Shabbos was illuminated. The first Shabbos of creation was shining. There was no darkness. The simple meaning of this is, you all know, that there's a special light. There's a special, amazing light that was set aside. It was so extraordinary, we'll talk about it a little bit later on, that was set aside for the tzaddikim for the future. It's called the Or HaGanuz, the Argonus, the hidden light. So our sages, our rabbis taught us that that first Shabbos, the Shabbos of creation, even though it was after Adam and Chava sinned, it was after the sin of Adam and Eve, of Adam and Chava, nevertheless Hashem allowed the light of creation, that amazing hidden light, to shine for the duration of that first Shabbat, for that first Shabbos, as a gift. That's why when Shabbos was over, when Shabbos was complete, it suddenly became dark. But it means really dark. There was no light at all. And Adam, Arishon, and Chava had never seen that darkness. Because they always had that light of creation. They had never seen the darkness. Because Hashem kept that light shining through Friday night. They never saw darkness. Adam and Chava were created on Friday. And they never saw darkness. You know what? It must have been very frightening. So according to Chazal, everybody knows what happened. That Adam and Arishon took two sticks, say two stones, and he rubbed them together and he created Ma'arei Ha'esh, a fire, which is why on Motzei Shabbat, when we make Havdalah, we make it on two wicks. To remember That first Havdalah that was made, the first separation and distinction that was made between Shabbat and the days of the week, when Adam and Chava were terrified, when they suddenly found themselves in the darkness in that world after the first Shabbos. So that's the simple meaning of what's happening here. That Vayi Erev, Vayi Boker is missing from Shabbos because there was no darkness on that first Shabbos. There was no Erev and Boker, it was completely Boker. It was all shining light, the light of Bereishit, of creation. It's only after Shabbos that was taken away, that light. Everybody knows, and every Jew has to believe, that every single thing that's in the Torah, and every single thing that our rabbis taught us to help us understand the Torah, every single thing teaches us how to live until Mashiach will come. So, for us to just say that the light of creation, the light of creation remained during that Shabbos, and that's why the Torah doesn't say Vayevayevoker, that it was evening, it was morning. So how does that apply to people like ourselves? What does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? How does that affect us? Because if Hashem wrote it in the Torah in such a way, so you could say, alright, I understand that by creation, by the first Shabbos it was light. So because of that it wasn't written in the Torah? What about all of us? We're living for thousands of years. Shabbos is dark. It's Friday night, it's dark. So what does this mean for us? What is this teaching us? What is Hashem revealing to us? By the absence of those words, by Yehavah Yevoke. So first, let's understand on a deeper level. Let's understand on a deeper level the meaning of the two words, Erev and Boker. What do they mean, Erev and Boker? What I'm going to tell you now is from the teachings of Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, who you all heard of. Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, who as you know, was a master of Hebrew. Rabbi Avraham told us that the word Erev, which we say evening, Erev comes from the Hebrew word Eruv, Ta'arovet. Ta'aroves, what does that mean? Something is mixed. You see, everybody knows that Erev and Laila are not the same, right? What's Laila? Laila's already night, later on. Erev is that time when day and night are crossing. Yeah? When day and night are sort of intermingled. That's called Eruv or Erev, which means confusion. A confusion. Erbuvia means something which is mixed, confused. There's a confusion. The word Erev really means when something is vague or unclear. The Maharal from Prague taught us that at night, the whole world is in a certain amount of confusion and danger. Everybody knows that if God forbid someone is sick during the day, we're more frightened at night. Correct? At night the fever goes up, Chalila, Chas v'Shalom, right? At night the fever goes up. When there's a child that wasn't well during the day, we're much more frightened at night. The Maral says that the word in Hebrew, Choshech, which means darkness, comes the word Chasach to Ezbincha. That means to withdraw, to hold back. Lachashoch means to hold something back. And the Maral tells us a very deep thing. He says that the world exists less at night than it does during the day. It's not just that we can't see. Right? Nowadays we have lights, and there's so much light coming from the city. I'm sure some of you have been in a place, like in the country, where it's really dark, and you can't, it's like the darkness of Mitzrayim, you can't even move, right? Here in New York you don't have that because the chemicals are shining in the sky also. And there's so much light coming from the discotheques and the bars downtown that fill the sky with such a light that is dark. So, we don't know what it really means, mamish darkness. But the Maral says when it's really dark, the world, when it's nighttime, the world exists less. That's why people, lo aleinu, tend to die more at night. The world is sort of in a state of semi-existence at night. It's not quite here. That's why you can't see it. That's why Hashem made it such a way where you can't see. Because the world was created for the human being to derive benefit from. The world was created, the human being should function and be productive. And at night, The world is sort of in that state of non-being, non-productivity. Things are sort of semi-faded away from the world. This is what Erev means. It means when a person is confused. It means a lack of clarity. It means when you feel that you're in danger, when you're vulnerable, when something is going to happen. Boker is just the opposite. The word in Hebrew, boker, which means morning, comes from the word levaker, ben tov v'ra. Levaker. What does that mean? Who knows what it means, levaker ben tov v'ra? What does it mean in Israel, in modern Hebrew, when they say something of bikur? What does that mean? An examination, right? An investigation. The word boker comes from the word levaker, like you have with a korban, a sacrifice. You set it aside and you distinguish it from the other animals. You put it outside. That's called levaker. The word boker means the opposite of erev. Boker means absolute clarity. When you examine something, that's the word levaker. Bikur means to examine. Bikur means to specify something. This is what it is. To make an investigation is called a bikur. Levaker means to visit. It's the same thing. To visit means that you separate yourself from the rest of the world and you come and you focus on this one person who you are visiting who is, God forbid, sick or whatever it may be. That's called bikur. Cholin. But the point of bikur, the word boker means clarity. When something is seen, when something is clear to you, that's what boker means. So every day of creation, understand this is a deep concept. I didn't come here to give a speech, I came here to learn with you a little bit, the shiur. Speeches I'm sure you have a lot on Shabbos, but we have to have a shiur together to learn on a deep level. To learn, not just a 10-minute speech, but to learn. Every day of creation, the Torah says, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker. Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker. It was evening equals confusion, doubt. And somehow, that Erev period ended, and Hashem said, Boker. The Seder, the first day. In other words, the same way, with God forbid, a person is going through the night, you're not sure the person is going to make it, and everybody's davening through the night, and we're so terrified that someone, this person is sick, and we're davening, and we're crying. You know how everybody feels when the morning comes, right? Baruch Hashem. Vayer vayiboker. Morning has come. Yom Echad. The person has made it to this day. Somehow in creation, I'm going to explain with each day. Somehow in creation, the world went through each stage of creation every day. There was a certain doubt, a certain danger that the world went through, which I'm going to explain. Where every single day there was an erev, there was a confusion. Now Hashem was never confused. But something happened in creation that caused chaos and turmoil. That maybe the world would not go on. And then when it would come to the morning, Hashem would say, Vayhi Boker. And boker means when something is existing and it's clear and it's time to move on to the next day. So all of creation, through the 6 days of creation, the world went through this series of Vayhi Erev and Vayhi Boker. It was evening and there was a doubt, there was a confusion, there was a danger, there was a certain vulnerability. And the world was sort of waiting and holding its breath. What's going to be? Are we going to go on? Is the universe going to continue? And then Hashem said, okay. And they went, whew, boker. We're here. Now let's go through each day. Let's understand. And everybody should hear how this applies. Each one of you should hear how this applies to all of us and to yourselves. Let's talk about the first day. Hashem saw the light and it was good. That's the first day of creation, right? The or. The light that we spoke about before, the light of creation. Vayar lekim es ha'or ki tov. Hashem saw the light, and it was good. Vayavdel ben ha'or u ben ha'choshech, and Hashem made a separation between light and darkness. Rashi says, Ein kedai l'rishoyim. We spoke about this before. Hashem separated light from the darkness, and he saw Hashem saw that it was not, the Rishayim, the wicked, would not be worthy to use this light. This is a very special light. This is not something that you can measure in watts or volts or whatever. So Hashem saw that the wicked are going to misuse this light. So Vayerev means that Hashem made a separation between the light and the darkness. That's the first day. So what's the problem in creation on the first day? What's the doubt? What's the danger that is existing in creation on the first day? You see, if you or I would be able to see with that light of creation made everything so clear, so beautiful, so perfect. Everything was absolutely, absolutely certain. When that light was revealed, now how is it possible that Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve sinned? It's not the discussion for tonight. But the light of creation was such a light where there would be no sin, there'd be no aveiros, we wouldn't have to make choices between good and evil. The light of creation was so, it made everything so perfectly clear and understandable. Can you imagine? Like we're sitting here, you know, people, we have to decide in business whether or not, you know, there's a couple of extra dollars, if we say something that, if we're a little bit dishonest, God forbid, if we lie a little bit on the papers so we can make a few more dollars. So we don't know, should we, shouldn't we? Then there are certain decisions that we have to make about how to live in our homes and with our families and where to send our children to school and so on and so forth and how to proceed with our lives. And every single moment of life, we stand between good and evil. We're not sure what to do. And sometimes we make good choices, sometimes we make choices that are not good. If that light of creation would be here, it wouldn't be a problem. The light of creation is so perfect, made everything so clear, that there would be no free choice at all. There'd be no free choice. So what is the Vayi Erev on the first day? What's the Vayi Erev on the first day, on the day of creation? What is the doubt? What is the problem in creation that took place on the first day? When Hashem separated between the light and the darkness, and He hid that light of creation, when Hashem did that, it meant that it was possible until Mashiach that there could be Chil Hashem in the world. That there could be people driving on Shabbos. That there could be people that deny God's existence. That there could be people that desecrate and destroy all that is holy. Because had that first light remained, there would be such boker in the world, there would be such clarity, that there would never be Chil Hashem in the world. There would never be a rebellion, a rejection. There would never be heresy. There would never be a denial of God's existence. There would never be a wrong choice. So the Vayi Erev over the first day is that in creation there's this complaint. There's a creator. It's not that there was any person there. No one lived on the first day. But there's a problem. The problem is, why should Hashem create a world that has such sickness in it, such stupidity? Why should Hashem make a world where there's such confusion between good and evil? Why should Hashem make a world where there's Chil Hashem, where His name is being desecrated and He is being defied? So there was a problem in creation that maybe the world shouldn't go on. Maybe there shouldn't be a world. Vayi Erev, there's a confusion. There seems to be an error in the program. Why did Hashem make a world where the light of creation is hidden, which will now make it possible for all kinds of stupid, crazy, insane things to happen, for the world itself to deny God's existence? So there's an error, there's a question, there's a doubt, the world is in danger. Maybe the world shouldn't continue, because the world is blemished, the world is damaged, there's a problem. So everything was waiting, and Hashem said, Vayi Boker. No, the first day was created. And the Vayi Boker, the first day, means that even though it's true that now we have a world where evil is possible and there's confusion, there's terrible confusion, and there's free choice, but how delicious and how wonderful is it when a tzaddik makes the right choice despite all the other things that would pull him to make the wrong choice? In other words, if we would look at Hashem as a businessman, and I'm sure there are some people here that are in business, we could safely say, in all due respect to the master of the world, that he is one of the least successful businessmen in history. Because he made a huge investment in creation, he has very small returns. Generally, the sign of a successful business is when you, in a successful business, you try to invest the least amount as possible and to make back as much as possible. That's correct, yeah? I mean, I was never in the business world, but that much I understand. You try to invest as little as possible. If it's possible, you have your brother make all the investments. And then you try to take back, or your father, and you try to take back as much as you can. That's a good business. So the master of the world doesn't seem to be in such a good business. Because he made a world that has had through history billions and billions of people. There haven't been too many Chafetz Chaims and Ben Ish Chais, you know that. But for the few that there have been, and not only that, for people like you and I, who are trying to be good, who are trying to make right choices, it's worth it. Why? Because even though free choice became possible because Hashem took away that clarity of the first day and the light, and therefore there's free choice, but when there's free choice, life becomes meaningful, right? If there wouldn't be free choice, Hashem didn't have to send our souls down to this world. If there isn't free choice and everything is 100% clear, as wonderful as it is, so does the angels. Hashem has angels in heaven. Hashem has neshamot, has souls in heaven also. So Hashem sent us into this world, even though it seems that Hashem should not have created a world that's a losing proposition. I mean, Hashem created a world where there's so much evil and craziness. And free choice is generally, the world loses when it comes to free choice. Generally, the choice that is made is a choice against Hashem. Generally, it's a choice against God. And yet Hashem said, Vayarev, Vayiboker. Why? Because Hashem said, when He said those magic words, Yiboker, it means, I want a world with this free choice. I know that you're going to say that there are billions of people who are stealing and lying and cheating and doing all kinds of terrible things, and people who are not keeping Shabbos, people who never heard of Torah, people who don't care about Torah. But Hashem said, but it's worth it, because I'm not in business like people. If I have a couple of them come out good and they make the right choice, it was a choice that they made despite all that was against them. So every one of you is choosing to keep Shabbos. Every one of you is choosing to learn Torah and to remain a Jew, despite the fact that there's an avalanche of evidence against the truth of Judaism. And there's an avalanche of Yetzer Hara, of evil in the world that's pulling you away from Torah and from Judaism. You have said, Afal Pichein, despite all of this, I choose Hashem. Every one of you has made that choice in your lives, to one degree or another. Because if not, we wouldn't be sitting here on Shabbos. So that choice, Hashem says, I know that there are billions not making that choice, but Hashem says, I enjoy so much, it's so worth it for me, the few that do make the choice. Vayiboker, you understand? Vayiboker. Good, we can go on to the second day. The first day there was a danger. It looked like Hashem wasn't going to go on, but there's a question in creation, there's a question again, there's a big question. Vayiboker. The second day. The second day, everybody knows,
put this on. This was never put on.
Is this put on? Okay, don't put it on now. But I'll have to take one. On the second day of creation, Hashem divided between the higher waters and the lower waters. Hashem made a separation between the higher waters and the lower waters. What does that mean? That originally everything existed somehow in this higher state, in the higher world. And then Hashem made a separation, and some of the water remained in that spiritual higher place, whatever that is. And some of the waters descended into this world in the form of oceans and rivers and lakes, and water fountains and all those other things. So Hashem separated between the higher waters and the lower waters. What does that mean? That means there's a very big question in creation. There's a very, very big vayi erev in creation, a confusion. And what's the confusion? Why were we thrown down to this world? Why were we separated and thrown down to this world? Because everybody knows that the fact that the Mayim HaElyonim, the higher waters, were demoted and diminished and became lower waters, that diminishing that took place created within the lower waters a scream and a cry of, it's not fair. It's not fair. Just like the soul, the neshama, was in the higher world. And the neshama, the soul, was sent down to the lower world. And the neshama says, what do I have to be here for? Why was I chosen? Why couldn't I be a malach? I have to come down to Midtown and heaven and deal with this stuff. Why couldn't I remain in the neshama? Why couldn't I remain in the higher world? Why do I have to go through all of this? Why do I have to go through all of this? So does anybody remember how Hashem calmed down? How Hashem calmed down the lower waters? The lower waters have a complaint. The Vayehi Erev. It's a good complaint. It's the complaint in creation that says, what kind of a world are you making, Hashem? Where you take something that is holy and precious and great and you throw it down into the dirt. You throw it down into the dirt. The Mayim Tachton of the lower waters say we were higher waters and now we're lower waters. What kind of a world is this? Vayera. And every one of us has that question sometime. How many times have I had students that have come and spoke to me about this? Where students will come and say, why was I put into such a family? Why did I have to be in such a family? This one was born in some religious family in Muncie. This one was born to a family where they're happy keeping Shabbos. I was born to a family where if I want to keep Shabbos, my parents make me feel like I'm living through the Inquisition. No? I hope there are no inquisitors in this audience. But we've had students, time after time we've had. Every day I speak to students. I have students that they want to die and they have to go hide in their room someplace. If they want to pray to Hashem, they have to hide in their room because their parents don't let them pray. I've had students that they want to wash their hands, they have to do it in secret. In secret. So these students come and they ask me, I don't understand. Why was I sent into such a world? Why was I put into such a place? What did I do wrong? That's the complaint of the lower waters. You do this. Vayehi Erev. It's a big question on Hashem. There's a big question. The world again is not, maybe there's reason enough for the world not to go on. Vayehi Erev. So what happened? So why did Hashem go on with creation? I mean, what brought to the Vayehi Boker Yom Sheni? What's the Vayehi Boker? So the answer, as you all, I'm sure many of you remember, is that Hashem told the lower waters, it's true that you were diminished and you were sent down to the lower world. However, you are going to be placed upon the Mizbeach. Everybody knows that Sukkot, at the time of Sukkot, there's a special ceremony that's called the Nisuch HaMayim, the pouring of the water on the Mizbeach. Yeah? So Hashem said, listen, it's true that right now you are lower, but you're going to see, as a result of you being lower, you can become even greater. It's the same as the first day, right? It's true that you were lowered. But a malach, everybody knows that an angel can never become greater. An angel is an angel, that's what it is. It's called a holeh, an omei, something that stands, it can't change. A malach can't change, an angel is stuck. An angel is stuck. Whereas the human being was sent down to this world, and being sent down to this world means that the human being was diminished and lowered. Just like the higher waters were made low to lower waters. But the ultimate purpose of the lower waters is to rise up back to Hashem. And very often I've spoken to the students about this in the past, that the deeper meaning of the pasuk that we say, the verse that we say, in Eicha, that we read about Tisha B'Av, Shivchi Kamayim Libeich, when the Pasuk says, the Navi Yirmiyahu told us, pour your hearts out like water. Shivchi Kamayim Libeich, pour your hearts out like water. Why did the Navi say to pour your hearts out like water? So one of the Tzaddikim said, and I've spoken to the students about this dozens of times, that one of the Tzaddikim said, that just like you see the waves on the ocean, what do the waves of the ocean mean? It means that the lower waters are struggling to become higher waters. That's why there are waves in the ocean. Because the lower waters are struggling to become higher waters. So Hashem said it's worth it for the world to continue. Because the lower waters are struggling to become higher waters. And if you're able to lift yourself up out of the craziness of this world, and to make yourself into something that's better and something that's different, that's more precious in Hashem's eyes than just being higher orders. That's what it means, shifri kamayim nivei. That when a Jew prays Hashem, when a Jew davens, when a person davens, it has to be in such a way, it's shifri kamayim nivei, that you daven, you pour your heart out like water to the Creator. What does it mean? Like the oceans of this world are longing to return to the higher world. Of the Mayim HaTachton that want to become higher and younger, the lower orders that want to become higher orders. And that's the value, that's the purpose of all who were thrown, all of us were sent to this world, which means that we were diminished and lowered. But the ultimate purpose is to become Mayim HaYonit, to become better, to become great. So Vayi Erev, there was a question, there was a doubt, there was confusion, Vayi Boker. And it was morning. Hashem said, the world will continue. Yom Sheni. Let's come to the third day. The advantage of this, though, you know that there's a limit to things. Now you know it. Come to a point that it ends. Yom HaShlishi, the third day. The third day is maybe the deepest of all the problems. The most difficult. The third day, Yom HaShlishi, so you know that Hashem told the earth to produce trees that are going to taste the same as the fruit. Hashem told the earth to make an eighth tree or a seventh tree. Let me know that it will be when Mashiach comes, that the tree itself, the bark of the tree, will taste the same as the fruit. That when you eat from the tree, you can pull up a piece of the tree, it'll taste not much like an apple, it'll taste like an orange, it'll taste the same as the... So the earth didn't listen, and the earth produced trees, and the trees don't taste good, and only their fruit tastes good. This is a very deep subject. It's explained by the Maharal and Rav Kook. What does that mean? Obviously, the earth can't disobey Hashem. If Hashem wants to have trees a certain way, they'll be a certain way. So what is the deeper meaning of this? That Hashem wanted, and the ultimate purpose of creation is that the trees will taste as good as the fruit, but that didn't happen in creation. There's a problem. In creation, there's the Tam HaEitz and not the Tam HaPri. The taste of the tree is terrible. And we don't want the taste of the tree, we only want the taste of the fruit. So Maharal, and Rav Kook explains to Maharal, tell us a very deep thing. Everything, and all my students know this already, we've spoken about it before, that everything in the world exists on two levels, as trees and as fruits. The tree is the means to getting something. That's how you get it. To the final product. The fruit, that's the final product. We live in a world where people don't like the tree. They just want to get to the fruit. We understand. Who wants to schlep this for 20, 30 years in the business till finally it should bear fruit? And all of us, we want Bezras Hashem to bring children to the world. So we want, that means that when we have a child, we're imagining, you know, when they tell us in the hospital of Baruch Hashem, your wife has given birth to a healthy child, so we're right away thinking, well, I have to start planning for the wedding. And you know, you're thinking about what a beautiful wedding is going to be, and how wonderful you're going to have a child that respects you and loves you and takes care of you in your older age. Huh? What about the 20 years and 30 years? You know, what about all the time in between? You never counted on diapers all over the world. You never counted on screaming babies and walking around making hakafot like a simple story the whole night. Right? You never counted on coming to a house and there are a whole bunch of kids fighting and screaming and pulling the hair out over some candy or a toy. You didn't have Charlotte once in the house. We have big wars taking place now over the spoils of fur. In my house now is more than the milchama in Shushan. More than the war of Shushan. You have the kids fighting over who gets this and who gets that and milchamas. Who planned on this? Someone told us about this. This is what you want from having children? That's not what we want. We want the children to be finished. We want fruits. In other words, the person wants to be a doctor. He wants to be a doctor. Who wants to go to medical school for all those years? And then a resident, an intern, all this other stuff. Until you're a doctor, you're ready yourself a half head. So who wants that? Nobody wants that. Everybody wants the final fruits. Everybody wants the product. Everybody wants the payroll. But the tree, the means to get it again, doesn't have a good taste. When Mashiach woke up, the eights and the three will have the same taste. That waiting for something and wanting something and working for something will be as delicious as having it. We can't even imagine that. There's only one tree in the world that the tree tastes the same as the fruit, the Chazal tells us, and that's the Esrog, the Etrog. It's true. And that's a whole separate discussion. Why is that? But it's not. Nobody
wants to work towards something. We just want to get the final thing. Everybody wants the final thing. It used to be that a person wanted to become a scholar. You read many, many books. You know, you wanted to know chemistry in high school. You had to read a textbook with 500 pages. And after that, they made chemistry made simple. They put it down to 150 pages. Now you can take all chemistry and talk about one page small print. Right? But there's a lot of ideas for it. Tell me what I have to know. Tell me what they ask me. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I mean, there's some people that are involved in this kind of questions. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you only had to study the information that they ask you on the test? I mean, some people do that. They just study another person's test. But it would be a wonderful thing if you didn't have to get all the extra stuff. Just tell me exactly what is in this one. So nobody wants the trees. Everybody just wants the fruit. You understand? So it's a big complaint in creation. You know what the complaint is? The complaint is in the words of the Navi, as he said, in the name of the Jewish people, Ma betza, what's the point of serving God anyways? What's the point? There's so much effort and there's so much put into it. And what do you get out of it, anyways? What do you get out of it? Usually people don't understand you. Usually people make fun of you. It's not like all of a sudden you become a rich person. I always tell the kids in the school that there's a guy that came to me a couple of years ago. I never met him. He called me up and he speak to me. Okay. So he comes by the house and he says he wants to know how to become Shomer Shabbat. He wants to become Shomer Shabbat. I said, why do you want to become Shomer Shabbat? Because he said that a lot of my friends became Shomer Shabbat and they're making a lot of money. It became good business. So I said, why do you have to become Shomer Shabbat? It's a lot harder. Why don't you go to the store and you could, for 59 cents, you could buy a rabbit split. That'd be a little charm. You could buy it for 59 cents and put on a necklace and you wear a rabbit's foot. Maybe you'll be that lucky. A lot of people wear rabbit's foot. Rabbit's feet, they tell them they're doing very good business. What happens if you keep Shabbos and because of that you lose half of your business? Then you don't want to keep Shabbos. Shabbos is like, you know, you want to see how do I make money from Shabbos? How do I make money from Shabbos? I have women come telling you that they're thinking about going to the mikveh. They're one of the laws of the mikveh. I said, why? Why do you want to know the laws of the mikveh? Because a lot of the people that have babies and the babies are not well, and they see that the ladies go to mikveh, they come out with nice babies. I want to get me one of those babies. Where do I go to get one of those babies? To the mikveh? How much does it cost? I'll go. Who doesn't want to have beautiful children, healthy children? What is it? It's a hocus pocus. The world does not like that. There's a complaint in the world that we try, we struggle, and then it doesn't always come out. It doesn't come out. So right here, so there's a big question in creation. Should the world go on? It's a big question. It's a big problem. What's the point? You work and work and you don't get it. What do we need all that for? A hevel, a rig, all the work. Even in physical life, there are probably people here that they have to work 50 weeks of the year, right? Let's say you take 2 weeks vacation, 3 weeks, you put a few days, you don't do, all right, all together. Let's say you get 3 weeks off a year. Good. So you're working 49, 50 weeks a year, so you should maybe have a 2 week vacation. Right? You're in business, they're cursing, ugh, I hate this. What am I spending a whole day arguing over something? And fighting and going, that I should be able to have 2 weeks, and during the 2 weeks I'm complaining because, you know, the hotel's not a good hotel, and my children are making me crazy, I should have left the kids with the grandparents and so on. I mean, you think it's crazy. This is our life. What is it? What kind of life is this? So he there. So what's the Vayi Boker? So what's the Vayi Boker? Why did Hashem go in the room? Because there's something wonderful to offset that. What's wonderful to offset that is, let me give you an example to understand. It says that even though you know that according to the Torah, women are not studying Gemara, they're not studying in yeshivas the way that men study. For whatever reason, it's not good tonight. Nevertheless, Chazal, the Gemara tells us that when the woman brings the child to yeshiva and she helps her husband to sit and learn Torah, she is given all the reward of her husband over her child who are learning Torah. The Torah is revealed to us that the one who helps the child, that helps the husband learn Torah, that person is, even though she's only working towards something, she's not actually studying Torah, she's given all the reward. She's given all the reward of a person who's actually studied her. So what does that teach us? It teaches us that Hashem has a program where every single effort He's promised us, that any single effort you've ever put into anything, maybe you don't see the results right here in this world, but He's promised that there hasn't been one effort that any Jew has ever made, the slightest effort to be better or to do something good. And even if you never got to do the good thing yourself, but if you were able to help other people, for instance, if you're a person, you can't sit in yeshiva all day. Not everybody can. But you build yeshivas, and you support the study of Torah. Hashem rewards the person who is working towards something like the person who has done it. So that somehow relieves the question, the problem, the horrible situation of a world where you're working for something and getting nothing. Because here we have where you work for something you never get to, and Hashem counts as if you got into it. And not one effort that any person has ever made hasn't been counted by the creator of the universe. The slightest kress, you don't need to kress, you speak a little of that language. A kress means, how do you say kress in Farsi? What's a kress? There's a word. A sigh, that's Farsi. You know what I mean, a kress. I don't know how to explain it. A person goes, oi. Oi is a kress. Ah, oi. A kress means that the slightest effort that a person makes to do something which is good, even though it didn't work out, Hashem counts as you might have did it. The world will continue. The world, because there's a way to live with that. The fourth day, you know Hashem created the sun, the moon, and the stars, right? Marot Rekia Shemayim. Marot Rekia Shemayim. So the fourth day, you all know that the moon wanted to be as great or greater than the sun. And the moon's complaint was, doesn't talk. Maybe in the movie's not in real life. So what does it mean that the moon, what's the deeper meaning of the complaint of the moon of how can two kings wear one crown? What the moon was really saying, and it's the same issue that we've been talking about, what the moon was really saying was loy lono hasha. Loy lono kilishimcha ten kavod. What does it mean? Lo lano Hashem, lo lano kilishimcha ten kavod. Meaning, the moon was saying, look Hashem, I'm not doing this myself. I want to reveal your glory, your greatness in the world. Lo lano Hashem, lo lano. Lishimcha ten kavod. So haven't the Jewish people been screaming and crying for thousands of years? Why is it that we want to have a little bit of money? Why is it that we don't want to be killed and tortured and beaten? Why is it that we're sick and tired of pogroms and concentration camps? Why is it that we want to see that children grow up and be healthy and well? Is it so that we should be able to conquer the world? That we should be able to be Vikings or Nazis? No. Lo lo Hashem. We're not trying to make money, Rabbi Shalom, just that we should be able to stuff our faces with more food than the build fancier homes. And anybody who is doing it for that purpose doesn't deserve it. Loi lono Hashem, loi lono kilishimcha ten kavod means, Hashem, if we want to be shining, if we want to be great, if we want to make money and be strong and be healthy and well, it's for your sake. Not for our sake. Loi lono Hashem. Kilishimcha ten kavod. Asay laman shemecha, do it for your sake. Because if your children are sick and suffering, then we can't sanctify your name. We can't make you great in the universe. So, we want to shine, we want to be, we're like the moon and we have a complaint. We're your children, the Jewish people are your children, why have we been so diminished and hurt? Why, like the moon, are we put aside and we can't shine and we're darkened every month like the moon? It's a good complaint, Bayera. It's a good complaint, Bayera. So what's the Vayi Boker? The Vayi Boker is, that Hashem, we say this every time, every month by Kiddush Levana, when we sanctify the new moon, the Vayi Boker is Shehem Atidim L'Kadesh Kemota. That Hashem says that just like the moon goes through different phases of darkness, but then the moon is renewed, that Hashem promises there's going to come a time when the moon is going to shine seven times. Mizukak Shevatayim, that the moon is going to shine seven times. So too, Hashem told the Jewish people, Shehem Atidim Lehitchadesh Kemota, Hashem Asidim Lehitchadesh Kemota, means that just like I swear to the moon, that the moon is going to become seven times greater than ever before, I promise you, Hashem told the Jewish people, that because all that you've gone through for my sake and my honor in this world, I'm going to give you seven times the glory and greatness of anything that ever was. So the Jewish people are holding on to us to wait for the fulfillment of that promise when the moon will be lifted up to its proper place. Vayi Boker, Yom Revi, the fourth day. The fifth day. We're almost finished. The fifth day. What's about the fifth day? Among the other things that occurred on the fifth day were the Taninim. The Taninim, Leviathan. You heard of Leviathan? The Leviathan, the great fish. These two were amazing. There was a male and a female fish that was created. They were created on the fifth day of creation. It's called the Leviathan. Very mysterious. Very mysterious. And you might have heard that the male Leviathan killed the female Leviathan. That's Chazal tells us. That fish was killed. And you also might have heard that when Mashiach will come, the tzaddikim are going to eat a meal that consists of the flesh, the skin, and the flesh of the Leviathan of that fish. So what is this? It's a very deep thing. It's a very, very deep thing. For people like ourselves, and our love of understanding what we've been taught, what's been revealed to us on a simple level, is that the Leviathan means reward for a mitzvah, schar mitzvah, reward for a mitzvah. And the meaning of that is that Hashem has prepared some reward for the tzaddikim. What that means, that fish, I personally don't even care for fish except for tuna fish, and has that a lot of mayonnaise. I don't know how many of you go for fish. So the great promise, in other words, Hashem says, you want to know why you've gone through, you want to know why you've gone through almost 6,000 years of sorrow, of suffering? To have a piece of fish. You know, in a respectful way, we can tell Hashem, you know, you can keep the fish. And we'd rather not have 6,000 years of misery. So obviously, the fish means something amazing that's being saved for the tzaddikim. To eat of that fish, which is a reward for mitzvah. The killing of the female fish means that we can't see reward for mitzvah in this world. That's what it means. We only taste the reward of a mitzvah at the end. So there's a very big question in creation by the Erev. It's the question that we've been talking about the whole time. The question is, Ma Betzah, Ki Na'avod Hashem. What is it? The same question as before. To serve Hashem, and you might as well get anything for it in this world. It's not worth it. Vayi Erev. It was evening. It was confusion. There was a doubt. There was a problem. What's the Vayi Boker? The Vayi Boker is that the Zohar, the male Leviathan, is alive right now. We don't know where or how. It's alive right now. And the meaning of that is, listen carefully, it's hard to understand. The meaning of that is even though it's true, that the real reward we're waiting for in the next world. But the fact that the Leviathan somehow exists now means that even though the Keren Kayemet, even though the real reward is only going to be in Olam Haba, the next world, but already there's something in this world too. Because I'm sure there are some people here who are in a moment of clarity. Maybe it's on Yom Kippur, maybe it's on the Shabbos by the third meal. I'm sure there are some people here who have felt at that moment, at those moments in life, how good it is to be a Jew. How special it is to be connected to the truth. And even though we might not be rewarded in dollars and cents, but to feel that you're attached to the truth, we get a taste of that in this world. You feel how wonderful the Purim is, how wonderful the Shabbos is. I always, when I sit down, because this seems like, this will seem like a silly thing, I'm sure, to many of you, because we're talking about fish. Besides tuna fish, I also like a filter fish. Now, you guys don't usually eat a filter fish. But Gefilte fish, as you know, is customarily eaten by Ashkenazim the first thing the Shabbos meal, right? That's a deep reason for that we spoke about by the Bukhari and Shul once. To eat gefilte fish, and it should have some grain with it, some horseradish. Every Friday when I sit down, Friday night, and I have a piece of fish, I always think to myself, what a rahman is, what a pity in the whole world that they don't know from gefilte fish and grain. I mean, it sounds crazy. What's the big deal with gefilte fish and grain? It's not just, you see, I don't like gefilte fish on Sunday. I can't eat it during the week. I once went with the guys, a couple of the guys, the old farmers from the Hebrew, I was on a diamond exchange, I went to visit them, he took me up to some guy, they served chalking on a Wednesday, right? Where is this? There's somebody over there, there's a restaurant, right? I remember, he went up somewhere, they're serving chalking. You know, chalking on a Wednesday, what is it? Wednesday, Tuesday, I don't remember they give it. The chalking in the middle of the week is not a chalking. Shabbos. So you probably you enjoy that green stuff that you eat. I forgot the name of it. What's it called again? Yeah. So you enjoy that. Okay, to each his own. But it doesn't taste the same during the week. Shabbos, when you put your head on the pillow, feels better than the rest of the week. There may be little things, but a Jew that keeps Torah mitzvahs, it's a different world. Even in this world, before the end, it's a different world. Vayiboker, Yom Chamishi. Then we come to the hardest day of all, Yom HaShishi. Friday. Yom HaShishi. The sixth day of creation. Vayiboker, Yom HaShishi. So everybody knows that the angels were arguing, should man be created? Should man not be created? Shouldn't be created. Why? So some angels said, why should you create man? He's a liar, he's this, he's that. Other angels came and said, no, he's capable of great kindness and goodness, he shouldn't be created. So there's a whole argument, should he be created? Should not be created, Hashem created man. Vayiboker, Yom HaShishi. Why is that? The truth is that those angels were right. The angels are right, that really, as we said before, that really, man hasn't been such a great investment. I mean, most people in the world are not. Couldn't care less about Hashem and Torah. So why did Hashem create man? Because it says, Vayiboker, Yom HaShishi. What does Rashi say? Yom HaShishi? What is the sixth day? Because at some point in the future, on the sixth day of Sivan, what's going to happen? The Jewish people are going to receive the Torah. It's worth it to have such a human being in the world. To have a human being as Torah, that's worth it. So by the error that maybe man shouldn't exist, because there's so much falsehood in man, but the Vayera, Vayibokir is Yom HaShishi, that the human being was created, because when you have a human being that's a person of Torah, really of Torah, that lives with the Torah, it's worth it. It's Kedai to have such a human being in the world. A person of Torah. That's Yom HaShishi. And now we come to Shabbos, which is the end. And so I'm sorry, just bear with me for another 5 minutes. Now we come to the end of Shabbos. By Shabbos, it doesn't say Vayera, Vayibokir. Doesn't say Vayera Boker. Because Shabbos, everything is clear. Shabbos, there are no more doubts. Shabbos, there are no more questions. The whole week we go through the six things I was just talking about. Because the whole week you find yourself at work. You ask yourself sometimes standing on the F train or the E train. What in the world? Maybe Long Island Railroad is different. What am I doing over here? What's the point of my existence? And all the six levels of doubt that we spoke about are so glaringly true. During the 6 days, and was so hurt by that. But when a Jew comes to Shabbos, there's no error of Boker. It's like when a baby was in danger for 6 days, and the doctor said, Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, we're not sure. And the baby's between life and death, by error, by Boker. Each day you come to the next day, and the doctor tells you the baby made it through the night, you say, Baruch Hashem, let's go through the next day. And then when it comes to Shabbos, Hashem tells us, children, the world is out of danger, no more error of Boker. Shabbos means absolute clarity. Vayichlu Hashemayim Va'aretz V'chotzim. Vayichlu means kol, means complete. Everything is 100% when it comes to Shabbos. That's the meaning. There was no darkness. There's no error on Shabbos. Because when it comes to Shabbos, you remember, you must remember what it means to be in this world. So I want you to understand that if you spend your whole Shabbos reading the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, if you spend your whole Shabbos standing in shul and sitting around a table talking about business, talking about the 6 days of creation, you've missed the point. Shabbos is that time when you realize with absolute clarity, what am I in the world for? To learn some Torah, to sing some songs with my family,
forbid, to have some good food and to remember who was the God that gave me this good food. I mean, Shabbos is a time of clarity. If you use Shabbos as a time to drive to shul, to go in a car to shul, in other words, you desecrate and deny God with your very act of coming to shul. And if you come into a shul, you spend your whole time in the Beit Knesset and talking and making and ridiculing the service of Hashem, you miss Shabbos, you miss the point. Shabbos is at least one day of the week, at least one seventh of our lives, we have the clarity when there's no Erev and Boker. When we remember who we are and why we were born to this world, that at least there's one day of clarity, one day when things are clear and right and good. That's Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not allowed to separate good from bad. You're not allowed to take the bones from the fish. We don't separate on Shabbos, because Shabbos, we say, it's only good. Everything has to be cooked before Shabbat. Shabbos is completely real. There's no question of what's the purpose and why and what am I going through. Shabbos is Shabbos. So therefore, when it comes to the building of the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan means, just like in the physical world, the world was created in 6 days, and then Shabbos was the seventh day, the world no longer was in danger, and we finished this whole business of Ayera and Beboker when it comes to Shabbos. The eighth day with the building of the Mishkan means Hashem's desire to make His presence known now in the world in a very deep level. Seven other days of creation. Everybody knows that the number eight means beyond creation. Eight is the number beyond. Eight is the number that's forever. So the parasha begins this coming week by Yom HaShmini. It was on the eighth day. And Chazal tells us that Hashem rejoiced with the building of the Mishkan like He rejoiced with Vayer, Vayimok, Yom HaShishi when it comes to the Shabbos. When it comes to creation, because for 7 days, Chazal tell us, Moshe Rabbeinu was putting together the Mishkan, and he would take it apart. He put it together, and he'd take it apart, and he took it apart. Until finally, it came to the eighth day. And on the eighth day, the Mishkan was standing and complete. You know, the Chazal tell us that before God made this world, He made many other worlds, He destroyed them until He made this world. You heard that. Why did God make worlds before this one, and destroy them? Before He made this world, God made worlds and destroyed them. Why? Why is that? The reason that God made worlds and destroyed them before this world, as it was explained in the writings of the Holy Rebbe from Ratzin, the reason was, so when this world would come into existence, it would come into existence with a feeling that there was once something here that was, I had and it was taken away from me. Because when you have something that was taken away from you, that should create within you a scream, a yell, and a cry, and a demand from God to give you more. I was just sitting with the guys from my shul, by the Siddhar Shlishit, my shul and shulness, and we were singing a tune that we also sing when we bring the Shabbos in. And the guy next to me said, he said to me, Rabbi, I wish this was the Yedid Nefesh of Kabbalat Shabbat. I wish Shabbos was just starting and Shabbos wasn't ending. You know what that means? That means that when you had something that was precious, when you go for Shabbos, and it creates within you a longing to have more Shabbos, to have a world that's all Shabbos. Because if you learn Torah and Shabbos, it creates in you the need to have more Torah, and more davening, and more closeness to Hashem. So Hashem made worlds before this world, because when this world came into existence, there was somehow a feeling in all of existence that there was once a world and it was taken from me. And when you had something once, and you lost it, then within you there's a cry and a demand and a hope and a tefillah and a longing to have it back. And that's what Hashem wants us to be. He wants us to have a longing and a desire to have back what was taken from us. That's what it means to be a Jew. To want something that was taken from you. That's what it means to be a Jew. To go through by air, by Yiboker, and to spend time through a Shabbos, through a clarity, through a yontiv, and want it back. To want to have that taste of Shabbos for the rest of your life. To want Mashiach to come when all the nonsense is over.
I want to end with a story.
I try to, as much as possible, I can with a story. And this is a story that I'm sure all my students remember. But I have to tell it very quickly. It's already late. And I beg you to forgive me. I was told to be here at 8:30, so I came at 9. So I didn't expect to start so late. I have to meet with people at 10:30 back in Woodmere. I don't think I'm going to make it at 10:30. So you'll forgive me if I sit out of here. I'm sorry, I had a lot of time here. I've talked till I can tonight. Mr. Shamo, Chazon Lamoy. Let me tell you a story. Many years ago, there was a jeweler from Rizhim and a saw from Rizhim.
The original lived in splendor.
The original lived in great splendor. So the Rebbe from Mizzen used to celebrate Purim in such greatness and such glory in his palace. People came from all over Europe to be together with the vision of the Purim. One year it happened. That the Rishna was sitting, the Rebbe from Mizzen was sitting, and everybody came, thousands of people came to be with him. He was sitting on Purim, like it was Tisha B'av. He wasn't smiling, he had his head down, and everybody was so frightened because they saw something must be going on, there must be some decree hanging over the Jewish people. The Rebbe is like so out of it. And people were really upset and worried. So there's a Jew there, Rebbe Yitzchak, and this Rebbe Yitzchak was known to be he was like a court jester. He used to cheer the Rebbe up, so he used to tell jokes, he used to be Mr. Man, he used to be happy. The clap. So he was telling some stuff, and the Rebbe just was sitting there like, no, not at all listening to it. He was totally out of it. Finally, this Rebbe Yitzchak, this Jew, jumped onto the table and landed right in front of the Rebbe from Mizzen. He spilled the wine, knocked over everything, and he landed right in front of the Rebbe. You know, people didn't do that in front of a tzaddik. And the Rebbe from Mizzen, all of a sudden, he says, what are you, crazy? What are you doing? What's the matter with you, Yitzchak? So he says, never mind what's the matter with me. I want to know what's wrong with the Rebbe. And people couldn't believe he said that. And the Rebbe said, what are you talking about? So he says, I'll tell the Rebbe what I'm talking about. People came from all over Europe, spent their last penny, broken, poor Jews, came to be together, poor, to have a little joy in the world, to come to the Holy Rebbe from Mizzen. So what did they get over here? Tisha B'av they get. So the vision seemed like his face was turning red, the Rebbe. So he says, let me tell the Rebbe something. I've been meaning to tell this to the Rebbe for a long time. In all due respect. There was a tzaddik that died some time ago, the Rebbe Naftali from Rupshitzer. By Rebbe Naftali Rupshitzer, it was good for his followers in this world, it was good for his followers in the next world. Because in this world, when somebody came to see the Rebbe from Rupshitzer, he would give him a kiss and a hug, he would show you how to daven, how to learn, and he would show you the service of Hashem. And he would bring you close to Hashem, and bring you close to itself. So when that Jew would come to the next world after 120 years, he would come up there and they would say, who are you? He would say, listen, I don't know, but I was a follower of the Rebbe from Rupshitz. Oh, you were by the Rebbe of Naftali? Come over here, we have a special place for Naftali's followers. So Rebbe, by the Rupshitz's followers, it was good in this world, it was good in the next world. But by your Rebbe, it's not good in this world, it's not good in the next world. Because in this world, we come to you for a Purim, we come to you for Yontif, to be with you, to have a little joy. If you look up at us, maybe we're lucky if you smile. If we get too close to you, you send us away. So what do we have from you in this world? Oh, so you're going to say it's good for us in the next world. So what happens after 120 years, someone goes to the next world, they ask you, who are you? Who are you? So you say, I was a follower of the Rebbe from Mizzen. They say, so what? Did he ever get close to you? He had something to do with him? He's a great man. So what? What's to do for you? I'm sorry, we have no place for you over here. So you see, Rabbi, it's not good by you, not in this world, and it's not good by you in the next world. So at this point, the Rishner starts pounding on the table, and he starts screaming at everybody. People are like standing there, shriveled up against the wall, and hope they're frightened. And the Rabbi starts to scream, and he says, so I tell you what, why don't you all leave? Get out of here. I never invited you. I never wanted to make myself into a Rebbe. I don't need any of you. I don't want you to be followers of me. I don't want it. And I ask you, Yitzchak, if you hate me so much, if it's so bad in this world, and so bad in the next world, why do you bother me? Why do you come to me? Why are you attached to me? Why don't you leave me alone? So then Rabbi Yitzchak sat down on the table, right next to the Rebbe. He started to cry. And he says, I tell you what, Rebbe, because it's still better by you. It's still good by you. I like it better than you, the Rebbe, anyway, despite all of that. And the Rishon when he heard this, he closed his eyes for a long time. Everybody was just standing there afraid. And then the Rishon held up the glass of wine, and he said, L'chaim to life, L'chaim, brothers and sisters, it should be a good and healthy year. Because I want you to know that there was a terrible decree that was hanging over us. Terrible, terrible decree. And I thought that God forbid it was going to be terrible suffering for the Jewish people. But I wanted to know that you hear what this Jew and Yitzchak said. That even though to be a follower of God in this world is not so simple because he's beyond our understanding. How you get close to Hashem in this world? We try a little bit of this here and there. It's so hard for us to get close to Hashem in this world. We have hardly anything to do with him in this world. So then when it comes to the next world, what's going to be in the next world? If you weren't close to him in this world, what's going to be in the next world? So then you might ask, if that's the case, then why do we get up to daven every morning and go to shul? Why do we keep Shabbos? Why do we sit in swimming pants till one? Why are we swimming rafters? And the answer is, we have no idea what's going on, but this much we know. We still value by him. It's still better by Hashem. That's what you have to know. That no matter what we go through, our ups and downs, our 6 days to get to Shabbos, our 7 days to get to a Mishkan, everyone here has had good days and bad days, failures and successes. The bottom line is, why must we stick it out? Why do we stick it out? What is it that compels us to be Jewish? Because in the very depths of who we are, we know that it's true and it's right to be the best of the world. That's the goal. You can't prove it, you can't explain. Only the heart of a believing person knows this with absolute certainty. We still have to be with him. I give you all a bracha that Hashem should help you to have the clarity. And Hashem should help you to go through the difficult days that I hear every book and to come to the final Shabbos that we should celebrate together soon. The Shabbos of absolute clarity, when no more questions and no more doubts. The Shabbos of Mashiach, when all things will be complete and all things will be done. May Hashem help us that we should be able to live and be healthy and well. May Hashem give parents the wisdom to direct their children in the right path, the wisdom to inspire their children, the wisdom to be able to see that when their children want to become better, Jews, that the parents should understand what that means. And Hashem should bless all the children that they should be God-fearing good Jews and respectful of their parents, not to hurt those who love them in those years of trying to become better Jews. To make sure to become better while caring and loving and giving to the parents who brought you into this world. Hashem should help all of us and we should quickly see the seventh day, the coming of Mashiach. We should celebrate Mitzvah Pesach together in Yerushalayim with all those who once were and all those who are and all those who will be again. The Biyat Mashiach Zekein Amen.